and unsurpassed penetrating and perfect Dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you put the clock where I can see it?
Row. Be wait, it was overturned.
We knew it was coming. You could say we knew it was coming once Kavanaugh got confirmed. And we certainly knew it was coming since the infamous leak. But it's different when it actually happens. There's some little part of me anyway that says no, or at least that it would get, you know, softened and no longer be citing as authority slavers and people with that mentality. Somebody that thinks it's okay to own, I can't remember if he owned slaves or advocated owning slaves or what, but that somebody with that mentality probably doesn't think much about women's bodies or women's agency. And I forget how, you know, I confess that I know this. Well, I know it from reading about it, I think, but also last night, Rachel Maddow gave a long, the history of how abortion became such an issue. People like Ronald Reagan, who used to support a woman's right to choose, and then at a certain point, maybe when he was running for president, decided to oppose abortion, and how it became such a wedge issue, whereas before. The head of the Southern Baptist whatever conference, which apparently is the largest Christian non-Catholic denomination, whatever, said many, many, many years ago that he didn't really have a problem with abortion because he didn't think, just seemed to him that life didn't start until the baby or fetus or whatever it would be at that point was out and living, you know, and it was an independent living being, maybe not a mature adult, but not inside the mother anymore. They changed their view. And I don't know quite what to say about this. And you know, it's entirely academic for me at this point, but I always thought that if I got pregnant when I didn't want to, that I probably would not have an abortion because my intuitive feeling is that there's some kind of a life going on there. But that's my intuitive feeling. That's my choice. And plus, I don't know what I would do. And I know people that had botched abortions and were bleeding so much they had to go to the ER. And they were treated like criminals. This is pre-legality of abortions. And I know people that had to go off to, you know, this is in Los Angeles, right? So it's not that hard to go to Tijuana, to Mexico. And they did. You know, they found somebody. And I'm not talking about reading stories. I know these people. Or I knew them. It's not academic. You heard of the Lancet, the British medical journal? Apparently their cover page yesterday was "Women will die." Women will die. And women will die. And women will be forced to have babies that they can't afford and that their families can't handle and so on, because they can't afford and don't know how to go somewhere. And there are organizations that are willing to help, whether in Texas that could get you sued, you know, because there are people that, you know, haven't been on a plane, don't know what an Uber is, nor how to call one. I mean, I had one, the first time I ever had one, I didn't realize that they just came, this car with just this little tiny sign came parked in front of the ferry building. I didn't know. I didn't notice. Nobody got out of the car. Nobody texted me to say I'm here. Nothing, you know. And then we figured it out and went over and said, are you here for us? And he said, yes. And he was pissed off at us. So, you know, what about somebody from McAllen, Texas, which is way southeast Texas? You know, not like up where Houston is or Galveston or something. It's way down. It's basically right next to Mexico. And also, those same people don't have the money to get on a plane or even a bus to as far as they would have to go. And it isn't simply the woman involved, but also her family. Often they have other kids and her husband. And to some extent, this is, I think, a women's issue. I mean, for me, it's about agency and a right to choose and a right to be, to live your life as, I don't know, I started saying independent human being. Maybe that'll do. You know, it's no longer the property of your father or your husband or your brother or whatever. And of course, it's not just about a woman's right to choose. It's about same-sex marriage and using contraception in your own bedroom and maybe interracial marriage and LGBTQ, etc. Rights. The opinion apparently says, I haven't been able to bring myself to read it. The opinion apparently says that this is just about abortion. But it's attacking the notion of what's called substantive due process, about due process that's not explicitly mentioned in the Constitution, but that flows from the concept of equal protection and due process. So I wrote last night to the various teachers' organizations I belong to, and I got a few answers this morning by the time I wrote. Anybody not on Pacific time was almost for sure long asleep. I don't know what a bodhisattva would do, what a person whose vow is to be useful and kind and generous. For me, it's beyond thoughts and prayers. Or somebody, and the responses started coming in this morning, somebody said something about it was certainly a time for zazen meditation and chanting or something. And I thought, well, yes, because that is the foundation. That is where we need to come from the Heart Sutra. Sorry. There may be a dog going by outside. Because hating people that oppose abortion is way beyond not useful. I had a friend in law school, a woman who was active in the women's union in my law school, who opposed abortion, and she told me one time, with tears in her eyes, that for her, it's murder. And if you believe that, then what? I mean, part of me wants to say, well, don't get an abortion. Don't do it. But if you see somebody about to murder somebody, don't you try to stop them? Hating on them is of no use. And It's also no use. I mean, I had the impulse just now, the political part of me wanted and started to say, if you want to hate on somebody, hate those Republican operatives that have been working on this for so many years, using that issue, using it to inflame people, and using the sort of terrorist wing that, you know, it seems like it maybe hasn't happened in a while, but there was a time when there were, it was not uncommon for doctors who provided abortion to be either threatened at, or killed, or clinics bombed and so on. But it isn't useful to hate even those Republican strategists. But John Lewis would say, you know, hate the action, not the actor. I have some homework to do about that before I do anything. There were marches yesterday afternoon, but by the time I heard about it, I would have had to drive up to Napa or to, I forget where, but there were two that were in the afternoon.
There was one in Napa?
There was. Huh. And it was already, the Napa one started at 5 and it was like 4:15, and the afternoon traffic, it might have been over by the time I got there. You know, there was a wobbly organizer named Joe Hill, and there were songs about him. He was killed by Pinkerton guards. And there's a song quoting him, you know, that said, I dreamt I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you or me. I said, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. The part that didn't die went on to organize. And he's quoted as, you know, don't mourn, organize. I say, mourn, grieve. I mean, you know, you may not agree with me about this. Grieve it, and then organize. And each one of us has a different approach. I got a separate email from a friend of mine, Tygen Layton, that he was not comfortable sending to the group because he's very, very political and explicitly so, but right, you know, he was upset and he was worried about the I forget which word to use, like ethos or whatever, of the tone of these teachers' groups, that the importance of being nice. The people that think that right speech means being nice. And who would say, well, I don't know, I'm not sure what the proper response is. I think we should all sit down and meditate. And it wasn't as if you should then get up and do something, but that was the tone of it. Tygen. So he sent this. Many current Zen places privilege being nice. And SCB ethics is about having nice ethics statements, no mention of societal response. And then he quotes Dogen, the Japanese founder of our school, who lived from 1200 to 53, something. Anyway, he says, Dogen says in Eihei Koroku, which is a huge book that he and Tygen translated of Dogen's shorter talks, like in the evening the monks would gather and then he would address them. And that format is where some of the koans come from. You know, said a monk came forward and then there was a dialogue. That's the kind of thing, because they're standing and they're short. Dogen says in Eihei Koroku, the family style of all Buddhas and ancestors is to first arouse the vow to save all beings by removing suffering and providing joy. Only this family style is inexhaustibly bright and clear. Removing suffering and providing joy. Now, Dogen talking about was probably mostly talking about Zazen. He mostly talked about Zazen, in case you haven't noticed. But he also, oh, I don't know. I started to say something and I realized it was from the movie about his life. And I know that that movie conflates some things, and so I don't exactly know. But there are scenes where somebody's suffering and he's said to have tears in his eyes. And there are people like me who, Tuggan says, yes, get it. I think I wrote something. I said, well, what is it? What other people think or something? I don't know. And he said, yes, get involved with politics. And I thought, but I've never not been involved with politics. Well, maybe when I was at Tassajara, but at the monastery, but pretty much all my life. It's in my DNA. And that isn't everybody's way. And it's not required. And I'm not sure what is required, if anything. I mean, you may think that it's a great idea to begin the process of ending rights that we've had for 50 years and more, because the one about contraception, Griswold, is older than Roe, and it's about privacy. You know, I think it was Griswold. It was Connecticut that outlawed contraception.
I think that was it.
Yeah, because it's Griswold v. Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then there's Loving versus Virginia, which was about interracial marriage. And that's even older. I think it's older. Anyway, they're both before Roe. But if this decision and this trend that's happening concerns you, then the question for a bodhisattva is, how do I respond? And that's not for me to say how you respond. It's for me to figure out how I respond with as much kindness and generosity as I can muster. You know, I've been going to do poll watching in Nevada at major elections for a long time, and writing letters about voting to people all over the country through the what's it called? The Election Retreat Organization, which grew out of folks from the Berkeley Zen Center, but is not connected. And they're working, there's something called Vote Forward that organizes these letters. So there's a form letter that with a blank space, and you fill in why you vote and sign it. No. And I don't know what it'll be this time, but they're already working on it. And a lot of lawyers that I know send money because they can afford it. And there are people that just constitutionally can't, or it's not won't, because it's not, you know, you do what works for your personality and your heart and all. You know, it used to be that you could go and go to the campaign headquarters and stuff envelopes. And so you wouldn't have to put yourself out there to go knock on somebody's door or call them cold call. Because you do, when you do that, sometimes you get a hostile response. I was in Pueblo, Colorado doing I got out the vote for Obama, the first round, and people, I was there a little early, like a day or two early, so they sent me out knocking on doors. People were furious because I was like the sixth person that had knocked on their door for Obama. You know, and somebody said, if one more person comes, I'm not going to vote for him. And you couldn't blame them, you know? But it was like, you know, there were so many people that the headquarters, they said they didn't know what to do with us. And there weren't any envelopes to stuff or any, there's nothing to do. And so sometimes you get sent on weird errands. But there's not so much, I don't think there's so much work to do nowadays that you can just, you know, sit in a headquarters and do that. I mean, maybe there's some typing input stuff. I don't know. Well, I think a lot of that too is electronic. You know, you sign up in some way and put something somewhere, blah, 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 punch a few buttons, and you can get, you know, the precinct list from every voting precinct and see who's already voted. And you already have lists of who's registered as a Democrat or Republican, independent or whatever. So nobody, somebody's sitting there somewhere typing, but it's a public function. And I don't know about California so much. You know, you can go to, you know, work at the polling place. And it used to be pretty anonymous. And I think that's still the case in California, I'm not sure. In other parts of the country, it takes a great deal of courage to do that. But anyway, I think this is true. I try not to impose my politics on the sangha. So I started to say we each have to, and I'm not sure we have to, but, you know, what does a bodhisattva do? I mean, it's basically ask ourselves what, you know, that's my intention, that's my vow. How do I respond to this? If at all. I find it very frightening. I actually, you know, even though I'm well past the age of having children, I feel it personally as a personal attack. And I think it is a personal attack. But it isn't just against women, it's just that it's something about devaluing those of us who are not white Christian males. And even, I think you can, the Catholics have been sort of off and on those anti lists, like the Klan used to attack Catholics, but now it's a Catholic majority on the Supreme Court, and that has something to do with this. And I guess the practice question remains always, you know, what's a bodhisattva to do? And it has to start with zazen, and it has to start with knowing yourself, and I need to remember, and I do know, that my tendency is to act. My codependent tendency is to fix it, do something. And I don't want my actions to come from that place. And I'm wary, hesitant not to, my intention is to not tell people that they have to do something. I mean, that's what I want to say. You have to do something. I have to do something. No. I know that you heard me sigh on an out-breath. I don't know if this great mic picked it up. That's what you do. You breathe it out. Let it go. Anyway, I'm sorrowful, dazed, and confused, and angry. So I don't have any answers. And I'm tired of saying that. It seems like I've been saying that. Just talking about Uvalde, I guess. Somebody asked me, you know, well, what do you say? This was something I've been practicing for a while. And I told them, I don't have any magic words. Sit more zazen. But that's not all. Anyway, does anybody have any questions or comments or response? Yeah.
I almost wonder, because you're obviously right, you can't go to people and grab them by the lapels and go, do something. But I almost wonder if a useful thing to say is, if you feel compelled to do something, don't be dissuaded. Consider yourself supported. Because, yeah. And what I'm thinking of is you know, here or you see on social media, stuff like that, people just working themselves up into a tizzy, which is not doing something. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder if maybe the more helpful thing is to say, if you want to, you can, you know, to just kind of open up that.
You mean like to offer options? I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not saying you say that. I'm saying that as a general kind of practice thing, just to maybe that's a thing that can be said to people. You do have some agency here.
I do say that to people. But yes, I think that's right. And depending on who it is, you know, it's often useful to send them some links.
Yeah, I've done that.
That's not, I don't know about in a Dharma talk.
Yeah.
I want people to feel supported. I want everybody to feel supported. I want people who are anti-abortion to feel comfortable coming here.
Yeah.
And after, as I listen to this today, they might not. But I want them to. I mean, that woman who talked to me in law school with tears in her eyes saying she thought for her it was murder really got my attention.
It's the same, a great point. Know,
Christians who are the kind of Christians that think that you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. If you really believe that, you probably do need to proselytize. I don't know, but anyway.
I've read this piece by Frederick Brown, who's a great writer of the 50s and 60s, and he's an atheist, and he said, the one thing I don't understand is, if you think I'm going to hell, why aren't you like throwing yourself in front of my car, like trying to stop me from what I'm doing? Why isn't it more important to you?
Well, there are people. I
guess there are.
You know, seeing them on street corners or knocking on your door. Anybody want suggestions, just let me know. If somebody recently did say something to me about, I don't know what to do, I feel helpless, I don't know. So I did actually. Somebody in the Sangha, I sent them a list. But I felt like I was being asked in that email. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to say something I can't believe I'm going to say, which is, yes, I want to do stuff, but I don't want to do things out of hate or wanting to destroy something or get back or something. I want to do something positive that like with love in my heart. And if that's joining a protest, which maybe doesn't sound like love, but can be, or sending letters or whatever. I think this has woken up. Even Trump said this is bad for Republicans, for elections. So there's opportunities, but I don't want to go down a dark place.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that what I just said?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess
it's fine. I just didn't know why you felt hesitant about saying what you said.
Because it's not my style to speak like that.
Oh, I see. that sappiness coming out.
Yeah, I'm more F the man, you know. Right.
Well, that, you know, what our practice includes fierceness and setting boundaries, mm-hmm. and so on. That you can't just. At Spirit Rock, they have a phrase that they use that they don't want to get into. They don't want to get into what they call idiot compassion, which means foolish compassion. I mean, for me, when you say idiot like that, I think of the novel The Idiot, which is very powerful to me. You know, what is it, Dostoevsky? I think it's, you know, there's this one of those sweet Russian nobles, you know, that just is really sweet, and people think he's an idiot, but he's not. He's a bodhisattva. At any rate, and it's, you know, you can't legislate coming from a place of love, but you can work with not hating and noticing how unuseful that is. And for me, remembering that woman in law school is really, really helpful. I don't know how it came up. You know, it was probably that was in the 68 to 71. So, you know, it may very well have already been a political abortion. It must have come up. I don't remember how. Because the women's union, we called it when we founded it, because we invited women's staff, like from the cafeteria, and spouses of law students and so on to join. So at any rate, she was active in that. She was very much against abortion. And that's useful to me. Anybody else? Tony, you're welcome to say something if you want to. You don't have to. Or if you have any questions. There hasn't been much jargon. I usually say if there's something that you don't understand, or you don't understand that word in that context, please ask. But I don't think that I've used anything.
Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.